Husbands and wives have a solemn responsibility to love and care for each other and for their children. Children are an heritage of the Lord. Parents have a sacred duty to rear their children in love and righteousness.
We welcome you to Gospel Solutions for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. This program is designed to help families in everyday living through gospel information, inspiration, and principles and practices that help us find solutions to our family problems. My name is Matthew O. Richardson, second counselor in the Sunday School General Presidency. Today I'm joined with Robin Beck and David Beck. David is currently serving as the Young Men General Presidency of the Church. I welcome you both warmly.
Thank you, Matt.
And I really mean that warmly.
Thank you.
Because this is one of the sad parts about with radio, is you don't get an opportunity to see the warmth that comes from those who are speaking. And this is a great opportunity to be with two individuals that feel so strongly and warmly about gospel principles and helping others. So I'm thrilled about this opportunity.
We're happy to be here.
We are.
We will be talking today about fulfilling my duty to God. It's a wonderful opportunity for young men to be enlightened and uplifted. And really, I love the title is to help them to understand their duty to God, but to fulfill that duty as well. And I think that the important part here, and I know that you'll be able to share with this, we have done this in a previous episode, laying a foundation of how this opportunity of fulfilling my duty to God can help families. I hope that as we're going through this, we'll be able to help families, parents, and young men, young women, be able to see how this can help strengthen their families.
Absolutely. The foundational scripture for duty to God is found in section 107 of the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 99, which states, "Wherefore now let every man learn his duty, and to act in the office in which he's been appointed in all diligence." There is no higher duty for a priesthood man than his duty to his family. Family is central to duty to God. And we emphasize that we need to let this happen. Let every man fulfill his duty and learn his duty and to act now. We emphasize the word now. Wherefore now?
Right.
Procrastination paralyzes priesthood power.
This is good. Tell me a little bit more from your experience, from both of your experience or perspectives, about this enabling. What are some things that parents might be doing or even leaders might be doing, but particularly parents may be doing or not doing that is not allowing this to happen? And they might not understand that actually I'm a barricade or I'm standing in the way of this. So what might be happening there that they're doing or not doing?
You know, President Lee used to talk about this relative to this verse in the Doctrine and Covenants when he said, when you call someone to a position or give them a duty, don't be hovering over them where you're blocking the light that can come to them in that calling. Give them space. And President Faust would emphasize this also, that when we give someone a responsibility, a duty, that we allow them to seek God's inspiration and to fulfill that duty. And so let or allow, that's, Matt, I really like the way you've postured that we have to allow these young men to exercise their agency. And they are young men, and they're learning. And sometimes I think we might have a tendency, not only as advisors, but perhaps as a father and a mother, to micromanage.
Yeah, that's really true. We need to let them do what they're able to do and help them build confidence. They need confidence in knowing that they can do things, and we need to let that happen.
That's so good. And as a matter of fact, my experience has been that a lot of times confidence doesn't come in a single experience. It's not like one time, you can do this, and that's all. It's a process that is, I can't help but think of what we learn in 2 Nephi, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And so as parents, we need to continually present these opportunities to empower them to have these opportunities to see the vision and then let them to receive vision in their own accord of how to go about this.
One of the challenges in today's society is so many fathers are absent in the lives of their sons. And research has shown that fathers, when they are involved, they tend to develop this confidence in a young man that he can exercise his agency. And why is priesthood fathers will do that. We've all experienced being called to positions that were way over our capabilities, and the Lord is very patient with us, and we're not going to always do things perfectly. And we need to reflect that in the way we interact with our young men. They're learning, and it is a line-upon-line experience.
And isn't it interesting, I couldn't help but think as you were talking that our Father in heaven allows us the opportunity. He allows us to go through this process, both as adults and children. He's a great model of how this works, provides vision, support, encouragement, but still allows us, enables us to act.
Yeah, I think involving our children in our lives and valuing their opinions strengthens our relationships. It's a marvelous thing to share ideas with our children. They have a lot to offer. And I think we need to engage them and ask them questions that can help us. And one of the things I've watched David do with this calling is with our three sons, he'll say, you know, I'm thinking about something. I want to run past you. How do you think this would go over with young men? And what's happened is we have these great discussions at home, but then they go back to their places and they think about it. And when they're doing their scripture study, all of a sudden something will come to mind. And they'll email David or call him on the phone and say, I have this idea for you. Or, you know, it's just been a great bonding thing. And it really helps, I think, for them to know that we care what they think.
That's really good. I just finished a survey where I was working with young single adults, and it was interesting, the feedback. And Robin, as you're talking, this just bing came right to my mind. The feedback that they gave over and over and over is they wish their parents would not simply talk to them. And this is the wording that was kept on coming, but talk with them. And I like what you're saying there, is allowing them to be able to be participants, not just to listen to what we're saying, but asking their feedback, their ideas and their thoughts, because this builds both win. Both individuals will win. Builds their confidence, their understanding, their learning, as well as being able to contribute.
And contribute is a key part of engagement.
Oh, yeah.
And a family council can be so powerful. If we would, as families, gather around and solicit the input of our children and show clearly to them that we will be stronger as a family to the degree they do contribute and share their thoughts and feelings about whatever issues we're dealing with in the family at the time. And if a young man has an idea and he contributes it, and the family and the parents will seize on those good ideas, they've got someone that will be engaged.
That's so good. I was thinking of a statement from President James E. Faust where he was talking about the ills of the world and what type of havoc that's wreaking on families. And he mentioned that if you want to solve the problems in families, then it's going to be where young men, young women, mothers and fathers understand the roles of family members. I thought that was interesting. It's not to isolate themselves from the world and lock the doors tight and see if we can remove ourselves, go live in a cave. And it wasn't even a situation where we're going to go out and we're going to find a way to go attack it, as much as it was, we need to understand our roles. Now, this is why I bring this up, is when you were talking about learn your duty. I think this is fascinating. One of the important elements, it seems, to successful and happy family life is to learn the roles within families. Now, if I were looking at helping improve my family then and wanting my young men to learn their roles so that they might learn their duty, that seems to be a critical foundational piece for any family. And help me understand this more, David. And Robin, chime in with your perspective, because I think this is critical. At the heart and soul, one of the things I love about fulfilling my duty to God in this booklet and what they are learning here is a key piece element, first and foremost, is they must learn their duty. They learn things. They learn things. And then there's almost a process. I don't know if that's a fair word, but everything is centered along this experience of learning and acting and sharing. There's something going on here that's, I think, very profound, that's applicable to any family, regardless of your demographics, how many young men, young women, whatever.
It is powerful. And this idea of learning, to seek learning by study and also by faith. So there's action involved in this learning process. As you act upon what you have learned, the line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little process, you're learning as you're acting. And it's not a passive, let's see what's in the booklet and what I've got to check off. This is very much an invitation to study, to ponder, to pray, to counsel with others, significant people in your lives, like your core members, but particularly with your parents and family members, to see what God's will is for you. What is your duty? And that's a deep, powerful process. It's a lifelong process for all of us.
Good.
I was down at the Philmont Leadership Conference and jogging one morning before our classes, our courses began, and a priesthood leader caught up to me. That's not uncommon when I'm jogging to have people catch up to me. And he said, Brother Beck, when are we going to have duty to God for the Melchizedek priesthood? And I was huffing and puffing and said, that's not my department. But truly, I mean, the things we talk about in duty to God, to learn your duty and to fulfill it, that's a lifelong quest.
It is.
And so we try to cultivate this process of pondering and writing down inspiration that comes to you and then translating that into a plan that you act upon. So there's this learn, act, share model that is throughout the whole Duty to God book.
It almost seems in a way, listening to you talk about this, it's not just they're learning about a thing, but they're also learning process as well. I like that aspect, and that's really a beneficial part of this experience is they're learning how to do things, not just, okay, now go do something, but it's they're learning about, they're learning how, etc.
And they learn how to make plans, how to really process what you've learned into making something happen. And then the sharing part is a vital part of learning, to be able to articulate what you've experienced, the things that you've learned, and to share those with others. That's one of the deep elements of learning, is being able to articulate your experiences and feelings.
Good point. As a matter of fact, I think in the way that I'm hearing this is it's very difficult to almost compartmentalize these three things. Okay, first we learn. Okay, now it's the next step. Now we must go and act upon it or do something. Okay, now I need to go share. Actually, and from my background in education, is part of the learning process is the opportunity, as you were mentioning, it is sharing. That's one way that we actually learn. It's not a separate compartment, but it's a very important thread of the whole fabric. And part of the way that we learn is by actually putting something into place. We learn by doing things. Speaking as a father with a 15-year-old son and working with him on his duty to God and having this opportunity has been a great experience. One of the great heartwarming experiences to watch him learning how to be able to learn, actually. Mm-hmm. It's been a nice thing that there's more than just reading something. Okay, I read it and I got that. Thanks, Dad. Let's check it off. You know, we did page 14. But the thought of now, okay, I'm learning. I need to learn more on this. So writing things down. Boy, that's really quite significant, actually, in today's learning center, is being able to do something in the learning process. It's been wonderful, and it's been a facilitating experience as a parent to be able to use this in helping my sons learn.
Mm. I think when we verbalize, then we internalize. You know, we have to be able to express what we've felt and what we've learned. But I don't think that the Learn, Act, Share needs – it has to be a natural part of our family life. It has to be just what we do. It's not something we think about that much. It's just something that we do naturally. It can't
be. Or at least
we
should be doing that, right?
Yeah.
We should be
doing
that.
Yeah. I think it really is a gift to mom and dads to help create an environment where kids have the opportunity to study and learn, then to act on what they've learned, and then share what they've learned with their family. I mean, it's just – if you can have that feeling in your home that it's a safe place to be able to share whatever you need to share – kids can really thrive.
This is so good. Have you had any experiences when you're teaching these to priesthood leaders and young men where the vision is presented and they're like going, oh, and they may not have that natural inclination of sharing, that they're like, they come to a realization of saying, oh, you know what? I am not doing this very well in my home. I am not enabling this. And they have the vision and then they set kind of an internal goal, I'm going to try this. Have you ever had any experiences with leaders or parents that have this aha moment and then say, I'm going to try this?
I'll tell you, the greatest moments I've had in training is when we've invited the Aaronic Priesthood Quorum Presidencies to be part of our training. And as we seek sharing in the training experience itself, the young men are so much more spontaneous than the adults at the training. And they share such profound, deeply profound thoughts and feelings about this and experiences. And we've had throughout the world, we've had young men stand up and exhort adults and teach and warn and
That's great.
And share experiences that they've had. We've had, I can think of one experience where a young man stood up in a training in Burley, Idaho, and shared his conversion story with all the leaders in that training session. It was a moving, it was a powerful, powerful experience. And I think experientially, these leaders see, we've got to listen more.
Well, that's good.
We got to let this happen.
That is so good. I had an experience in St. Petersburg a while back where a woman came up after talking about things that we could do better in learning and teaching. And she was teary, and I thought, oh, maybe it was successful. But she was teary because she said, I don't do any of these things. I am not doing what I'm supposed to. And this was why I bring this up. She said, I didn't know anything else. And so now having this opportunity, I've seen something different. And I just loved her dedication and humility to do this. And says, I'm going to go try this. I am going to try, as hard as this sounds. This is so foreign to me to do these type of things. I'm going to try this. And then I received an email saying things are going better, you know, and she's trying. The vision is there, is I need to help, be bolder, to listen, to facilitate, to encourage.
And the blessings are evident in relationships with siblings too, which is a great blessing for parents.
There's a good point.
There's a young man, pre-stage young man who made a plan in his Duty to God book that he would study the scriptures every day and record his impressions in a journal. And he just saw the blessings flowing into his life as he would start writing down his impressions through his scripture study. And he said, I've learned from writing in my journal that God can speak to you as you write.
Oh, boy, that's – will you read that one more time? Because that is really a good line right there. This is powerful.
Yeah. He said, I've learned from writing in my journal that God can speak to you as you write. It's another way to receive revelation. Well, of course, Duty to God encourages sharing. So Robbie shared with his younger brother, Scott, his experience. And so Scott made a plan to do exactly the same thing, to study the scriptures and start writing impressions in his journal. And he saw that he became stronger and closer to the Savior. And so what did Scott do? He shared with his deacon age brother, Josh. Actually, he wrote him a letter one night and slid the letter under the door into the bedroom of Josh. And Josh saw this letter and read it. And Scott said, Josh, I just want to share with you the experience I've had where I've had more meaningful scripture study and the use of my journal. Well, Josh, the deacon, seeing the example of Robbie and Scott, his older brother, started doing it himself. And this has been a way for an older brother not only to learn and to act, but now to share with his younger siblings, and all three brothers now are feasting upon the words of Christ daily.
What parent wouldn't be thinking, I just died and went to heaven, to have that type of thing happening between siblings, between children, rather than saying, do I have to come back there and sit between you two, you know, or to have this experience coming. But what a wonderful opportunity and what a blessing it is where I'm glad you brought this up, to bless not only parental relationships with their children, but siblings as well. And it just starts to spread through. Thing I really enjoy about this also is something that you said, Robin, is it's a natural process. It should be natural. It's not like, okay, checklist, okay, learn, okay, now I have to go share. When you were telling that story, I couldn't help but think of those things popping out. In the process, it was very natural. Learning through scripture study, acting by writing, actually. And that's why I wanted you to say that twice, is learning as he was doing something. I mean, isn't that the way the Spirit works? Nephi is praying, not knowing whither which way he should go. But he has a goal, but acting, and then the Spirit is telling him as he's going through the city how to be able to solve the problem. Sometimes we're waiting for the answer, and then we will act. These threads are so wonderful. And then this doing part is accentuates the learning and then the natural element of sharing. I think this is very relative. A lot of the studies that are coming out now right now with teen and young adult men is – a headline came out and it just struck me. It's this, the war on boys. And then the headline goes on, young men losing ground in education, emotional health, and jobs. And this is a longevity study. Is what's happening is we're finding that young men are disappearing on the map of being educated, entering into the workforce, fulfilling their responsibility just in society. And it's a sad element. And a lot of the researchers saying, why is that? Why are young men disappearing? And they're coming back and saying, because they're not doing anything. They're home playing video games. They're not engaging in school. They're not engaging in dreams and visions of the future. They've kind of just leveled off. And so one of the things I love about this as a parent is saying, well, how can I help my children, especially my young men, is to be able to use these principles as they need to have visionary learning. They need to get out and start doing things as far as that goes. And then they share that and other people become part of this.
Right. And I think we really need to understand the priesthood, what it is, and that God has chosen to give this to young men, not only for the salvation of the church, but for the salvation of those young men who bear it. And to the degree that we can allow these processes, these behaviors to happen in a home to help a young man truly understand the priesthood and to fulfill his duty to God in that priesthood, we're saving young men. And we'll save not only them against the temptations of the world today, but prepare them for their future roles as the fathers and the husbands who will have to create that environment for the next generation.
That's so good. As a matter of fact, I love the First Presidency message in the very beginning of the booklet. It says, you live in a day of great opportunities and challenges, a day in which the priesthood has been restored. Everything you're saying there is now for the future. This is a challenging day. There's no doubt about that. But it's also a day of great opportunities in young men and parents and families that are stepping up and creating a different world in a world that has serious problems. And I believe that comes through priesthood power, gospel observance, and ordinances. It's really a great blessing.
Section 2 of the Doctrine and Covenants talks about Elijah and his role to reveal the priesthood unto us. And of course, that's referring to the sealing power and how that has the power to plant in the hearts of the children the promises made to the fathers and turn the hearts of the children to their fathers. But I think all priesthood power points to that turning of the hearts of the children to their fathers. And to the degree a young man can understand and fulfill his duty to God, his heart will be turned to his parents and to his family. And those promises will be planted deeply in his heart to serve his Heavenly Father and to serve his family, to bless them for all the days of his life.
That is so good. As a matter of fact, I love what you're saying, and I couldn't help but think, you know, in Malachi, in the Old Testament language, if you look in the Hebrew of that, the word to turn, as far as that would be, is also translated as to bind. So it's not just a sealing, although that is critically important in that ordinance experience that we're looking at there. But when Malachi is writing this, at least when we look at the text in Hebrew, it's binding hearts together. And I remember Harold B. Lee once saying, as this applies just as much on this side of the veil as it does on the other side of the veil. So it's binding the hearts of living children to living fathers as well, binding in that relationship. That's a powerful concept. And that's done through priesthood, gospel power.
And, you know, I think to the degree the young men understand that power and are willing to exercise it every day in their own homes, then scriptures like the teacher's duty is to watch over, to be with and strengthen the church. A young man will understand this is my family. I need to watch over, be with, and strengthen, see that there's neither hardness between us. You know, this becomes a priesthood duty in his home.
That's so good.
And it does engage them, and as they're actively engaged, what a great protection it becomes for them. And then there's that great priesthood duty that all Aaronic priesthood bearers have, which is to invite all to come unto Christ. Well, that invitation is done through example, through friendships, through direct invitations, and through sharing. But the model of learn, act, and share helps a young man understand, I cannot be sharing this gospel unless I'm living it.
Yeah,
I have to understand and act upon what I do understand. And it just strips hypocrisy out of our priesthood service and our individual lives, that we would invite all to come unto Christ through how we're living. Primarily, that's the best way we can invite others, is our example.
That is so good. Well, I have two great parents sitting in front of me and great leaders. And so it would be wrong of me not to take advantage of the opportunity. So if I were to say I'm a parent and I would like to get some good advice, how can I support fulfilling my duty to God for young men? How can I do that as a parent? What are some practical ways I can be more supportive and help? Because this is happening in priesthood quorums. It should be happening in every priesthood quorum throughout the world. Are these elements that we've been talking about? We're laying this foundation. Now, Now, I want you to teach me, and because I am a parent. I don't even have to pretend to be a parent who doesn't know. I need help here. And so for all those parents that are listening, what would you recommend of how we can support this experience of fulfilling my duty to God with young men in the home? How can we help priesthood leaders?
Well, there has to be a fundamental paradigm shift about duty to God. We had a prior duty to God book that, in essence, was quite different. I mean, it was very valuable. We utilized it for our sons, and it was a blessing to them. But there is a paradigm shift, and we would hope that parents can appreciate that paradigm shift. This isn't one more thing. This isn't another science project for mom to get done. This, as Robin has said, this is a gift to mom. It's a gift to dad.
Right. So it's rearing children. It's rearing your children.
It is. So familiarize yourselves with it. I think that's job one. Yeah. Understand it. Really appreciate it, that this is a gift. This isn't more for me to do.
So you need to learn.
Exactly right, Matt. Do something about what you when you have a testimony of this, and frankly, to really familiarize yourself with it, you probably need to study it a little bit and maybe act and share it a little bit. But to the degree that you appreciate it, then that becomes a motivating factor to integrate it. Integrate it into your family experience.
That's good.
Well, you know, in the book it says that young men are encouraged to invite us as parents to make plans too and to work on our plans together. And I can't think of anything better to do than that. And I think it can help us as parents as much as it can help our kids. And as we're doing that together, we can grow together. God has an important work for these young men to do. Parents, we need to help them.
Oh, that's such good advice. We are down to the wire of just a few minutes left. So what might you say that would encourage parents or young men in this, just in a parting shot? Because I feel deeply that this is an inspired opportunity. I really do. And I feel that it's an opportunity for parents to embrace what they're already doing or should be doing in raising and rearing a righteous generation. And so what might we add? Robin, why don't you start? And then David, if you would.
You know, as a mother, I feel a great responsibility in raising these boys because they're the future missionaries, they're the future fathers, grandfathers. And I just feel like if I can help them to have experiences where they can feel the Spirit, where they can learn things that will help them to be a better missionary and a better father in my home, that they can feel safe to be able to share with me things that they feel, I feel like they'll be the best that they can be. And they might not do things exactly like I would do them. And sometimes, you know, we want our kids to be great right at the first, but they don't need to do that. They can come into things on their own. And as they do that, they become all that God wants them to be. And I think that's our goal, is for them to become who God wants them to be, who He sees them as when they're young men.
They have tender hearts. Sometimes the exterior can be a little crusty, I guess, but inside they have tender hearts. And just look at those hearts and see them as God sees them and give them those, as Robin said, those wonderful opportunities to serve Heavenly Father and to serve their family, and their love will increase for God and for their family and their fellow man. Let them truly, wherefore now, let every man learn his duty and act.
That is so good. That is so good. Once again, returning to the cover page from the First Presidency, there's a line there: as a parent, I'm thinking, if this could happen with my family, if this would happen with my sons, then I would have the greatest sense of fulfillment, I think. And the line is towards the end there at the very beginning. This is on page 5 of Fulfilling My Duty to God. It says, as they do these things, you will feel a great sense of accomplishment as you fulfill your duties, and you will be prepared to receive the Melchizedek priesthood, receive the covenants and ordinances of the temple, worthily serve a full-time mission, and become a righteous husband and father. That is my dream for my sons. And if this opportunity helps my sons become that type of an individual, why in the world wouldn't I embrace this and try to learn all there is and then to act upon that and to share that with our families? You know, and I believe that. I have a firm testimony of prophets, seers, and revelators. So if it's written there, I believe this can be done. And I appreciate your insight and perspective of helping us to understand how we can use this inspired opportunity with young men to help us find solutions to everyday living and family life. I appreciate your help. It's been a pleasure. What an inspiration. You have been listening to Gospel Solution for Families on the Mormon Channel, brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.